Hi, everybody. It's Jim Bakiai. My podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. You know, as I was just saying to Katie, I'm actually sort of enjoying these multiple theme podcasts because it seems like the kind of world that we're in, there's just not one theme. There's lots going on. And I'm quite happy to say that I just got my second Moderna vaccination yesterday. And for those of you that haven't got it or are going to get it, the second one is way more painful than the first one. Feeling a bit achy today, but not enough to stop me from getting out on the range this morning. So as my wife says, you're not that sick. You know, one of the things I was thinking about in the last several weeks, I was thinking about friendships and how our whole model of friendships have changed to sort of suit the environment that we're in. There's no dinners, there's no traveling, not getting together as much. And yet, I don't have a big group of friends. I have a small group of friends. That's not by my choice. I think it's mostly by everybody else's choice. But anyways, but I was thinking last week, I was playing golf with a friend of mine, John Nixon. John and I went to Queens together. And John is the best connector, maintainer of relationships that I've ever met. What I really love about John is that he does them completely genuinely. He truly just cares about all the people and connecting with them and finding out, you know, go back to my podcast, asking about your kids, asking about your family. And I've never seen anybody like John. And I think, you know, within my own world, I'm pretty good at staying connected, asking questions and everything else. But John's the best at it. And he does a wonderful job of crossing over business lines, of crossing over personal lines, of crossing over friendship lines, family lines. He just does a wonderful job of it. You know, one of the things I want to do is call out people, not call out, but sort of say about people when they do a great job of it. And John is the best at it. So John, if you're listening, which I know you do listen to, I just want to say thank you because it's very heartfelt. And I mean, we met in 73. So anybody who's staying friends with me that long, you can imagine how genuine they have to be or how accepting they have to be. But John's one of those people. But then it got me thinking about, you know, friends that I kind of lost my way with and, you know, no particular reason, not because we had a disagreement or anything else, but kind of lost my way with both personally and professionally. And what happens is this void sort of occurs. And in the old world, you might have run into each other at a reunion, somebody's wedding, somebody's funeral, a golf trip, or just business in another city. And it acts as the sort of impetus to sort of get a little spark to restart it again. What I've done is I've started to put that list together of people that I've kind of lost touch with. Not the ones I wanted to lose touch with, but the ones that I didn't really want to lose touch with. However it happened, through circumstance or distance, geography, or anything else, it just happened. So I ask you, do you have people like that? People that you've lost touch with that every once in a while you say to yourself, yeah, I wonder how they're doing. You know, I haven't talked to them in a long time. And so if you do, make a list and start calling them. And don't say anything more than, I was just thinking about you. It's such a powerful little phrase and it means so much. I was just thinking about you for no other reason than I just want to see how you're doing. I haven't talked to you in a while. How are you? How's your family? How's your job? Where are you working from? What's going on in your life, right? And what's going on in your life? And then I thought, well, why would we just stop at friends? Why wouldn't we take it another step further? And those coworkers used to see at Starbucks, or if you're a smoker, smoke with downstairs or in the lunchroom or anything else. But now that we're all at home and all at Zoom, we don't have that interaction that sort of occurred. Who are those people? Whose company you really enjoyed? You know, if you ran into them at Starbucks, you wouldn't say, hey, hi, good to see you, and, you know, sort of take off. But you'd probably sit down at Starbucks or spend 10 or 15 minutes. And, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. Let's catch up and what's going on. So friends first, and then think about coworkers, right? Think about people that may be in other cities that that, you know, if you were one of those people that flew from Toronto to New York all the time, and you went into the head office or one of the branch offices, and you'd walk through the office, hey, Bill, Mary, you know, hi, how are you? You know, what's going on? All my kids are graduating from, oh my God, they're graduating from college already. And this whole social network of ours was built on personal interaction. Now the social network is built on, you know, social networks, but it's still not the same, right? It's just not the same as getting, and then, you know, their parents may not be well. They may be going through stuff. It might make them feel good to just have you say to them, I was thinking about you and I care about you and I care enough about you to tell me what's going on in your life. And hopefully they'll feel the same way about you and ask you what's going on in your life. But even if they don't start to go, oh, wow, I asked about everything and they didn't ask me about anything. Just let it go. Just let it go. You know, everything's kind of rolled in for me this week. It's actually kind of interesting. And I was thinking about change, not as in changing yourself, but as in change going around us, talking about the change of personal relationships, talking about the change of corporate relationships. Everything is changing and we have to adapt. The environment in which we live in has changed and we're all being forced to adapt to that environment. But our work environment is changing too, with corporations no longer just being concerned about return on capital, but actually having a social conscience. So the question I would ask you is where you work, does it mirror your social conscience? Is it okay with you if it doesn't, because you don't really care? Or it doesn't, but you don't know what to do about it? It's the what to do about it part I want to talk about a little bit. You know, I'm a big believer in brush fires, grassroots revolutions in organizations. I always say, and Katie's heard me say this before, the truth of an organization is in the body of the people that work there. It's not at the top. People at the top have a limited view of what comes up, and what comes up is not candid. What comes up is what people think the senior people need to have. But this little cultural revolution that all organizations are going to have to go through, because the world for businesses is changing dramatically. Who's going to lead those? Do you want to lead them? Do you want to start them? It's just a little small, little brush fire, right? Do something different. Say no to something that perhaps you might not have said no to in the past. Ask a question that you may have thought, oh no, that's just stupid. I'm not going to ask that. Ask that question, right? Ask the question to yourself, is there a better way to do my job? Is there a better way for all of us to do our jobs better that benefits the most amount of people? And I think organizations are going through all of these cultural changes. And the unfortunate part is not everybody's a winner. There will be losers. But everybody has the opportunity to be a winner if they understand there's consequences to their behavior. Consequences to joining on the train that's moving, or consequences to saying, hey, I'm not sure this is going to be good for me. I'm going to resist this. I'm not throwing my oar in here on this one. And so whether you're a senior person, junior person, middle management, whatever you are, entrepreneur, ask yourself the question on a daily, weekly basis. What is it that I can impact? What is it that I can do? What is it that I can bring my brain power to help educate someone about something that we're doing poorly? So I want to give you a small example of a conversation I had with someone. But we were talking about a budgeting process and how everybody in the company always budgets well below what they need for expenses, because if they actually asked what they needed for expenses, they wouldn't get it. And so what they do is they play this bait and switch game and they ask for $5 instead of $10. And then they go back and say, hey, we already spent the five. So five's kind of going to be lost if we don't spend the other five. And I said to the person, but you have to stop that cycle. You have to stop that destructive cycle, because it's not just about your five or 10. It's actually the fact that maybe they shouldn't do it if they had to spend 10. Maybe it doesn't fit the priorities of the team, the organization, whatever. Not being truthful about what you need and what it takes to be successful doesn't actually work in your benefit, because to start with, you're over budget. Nobody likes to be over budget. Secondly, it contributes to bad budgeting process, in that the organization or your department says, okay, next year, we're going to spend $20 million. But the reality is they're going to spend 30 or 35. But they don't want to deal with that up front, because then they got to start making decisions, right? Every single one of us has a role in truth and transparency. Clarity, truth, and transparency. Don't let people make bad decisions based upon inaccurate or a lack of information. Step up to the plate. Start looking at things. Start, you know, I was talking to someone else and they were telling me they just took over an area and I think they produced like 200 or 300 reports. Could have been 400. I can't remember what it was. And when this person went in, they sort of sat everybody down. They said, okay, everybody walk me through why these reports are important. People just had this blank stare on their face. And they were like, well, we don't know why they're important. And the person said, well, why are we doing them? Well, we've been doing them like this for the last 5 years. And somebody asked for a new report. We just produced a new report. It was just that willingness, that compliance to not sort of say, hang on a second, is actually anybody benefiting from this report? Like, go to the people that are getting the report and say, listen, if this thing's still valuable to you, that's great. But tell me if it is valuable. And I bet you, for all of you people out there who are report doers, I bet you that it's not valuable. I bet you that all the reports you're producing aren't of value. And how does that make you feel? You'd rather be producing something that you know has an impact, and it has an impact on moving something along either profitably or some form or another in the organization, as opposed to, you know, I'm on the assembly line, putting four lug nuts into the four wheels that come in front of me, right? We have the power. We all individually have the power to do something differently. And the power starts with saying, I'm going to find out why I'm doing this. Just feels to me like this is a waste of time. But I think what creeps in is, who am I to say that, right? So I would say to you, who are you not to say that? You're actually the person who's engaged. You're actually the person that sees all the parts. And I bet you that if you stop producing a bunch of those reports, it'd be weeks or months before anybody would call you and tell you they missed one. You have more time to think about doing things that are valuable, that are contributing, and that make you feel good. You can't possibly feel good putting out reams and reams and reams and reams and reams and reams of paper that you have no idea if it's of any value. And I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are in the organization. In fact, the more down in the organization you are, the more imperative it is to do that. It's just a question. Anybody using this stuff? Somebody says, no, say, okay, do you mind if we stop doing it? Yeah, sure. I didn't know we were still doing it. That type of thing, right? And so take a look at your jobs, take a look at around. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about, and I have talked about this before, but I think it's even more important as we get sort of long in the tooth in this protracted world that we're in, and further from the past, and closer to whatever future for the beginning. But as part of that social contract, that social consciousness and everything else, how about adding in there, how do I make people around me better? I've got people and I'm watching them, right? I'm watching them flail like a fish on the dock. It's just as easy to walk by the burning car compared to stopping and doing something about it. And in my business, that's all I do. Every morning, every hour, every day, I start with making people better. Sometimes I do it softly. Sometimes I do it with a 2x4. And sometimes, very rarely, I go, it's not going to happen. So let's just move on. Right. And I don't mean physically with a 2x4, but metaphorically speaking. But, you know, look at your team and look around and ask yourself, how can I help Bill or Mary? Because they're struggling. They're either they don't get it. And I don't know if it's a function that they can't get it, or it just needs to be put in a different format for them. If we build this collective will to sort of help each other and not turn away and just, you know, ooh, car crash, look away, you know, and see it as, well, why would I help them? You know, they're just going to get ahead. I think that might have been the case in the past, but I think organizations are more attuned to looking for people that are helping other people. That dog-eat-dog mantra step over people and everything else, I don't think it's looked at in the same way. I think people are far more wanting to see people that do good in their work, do good in their lives, and do good with their coworkers. Because the fact of the matter is, if your job's going to get better and your company's going to get better, it sure as shit's not going to just come from the top. I know that because I've been on the top and I'm coaching people who are on the top, in the middle, and at the bottom. And the grassroots fire that needs to get started is 2 and 3 levels down. It's not the person at the top of the mountain with the 2 Moses tablets saying, you know, this is where we're going, follow me over the mountain type of thing, right? It's people taking individual responsibility, people doing something small, right? And I guess it's like any other sort of revolution. If you think about, you know, when the USSR broke out, right? It wasn't the politician. It was a few people that demonstrated, husbands and wives. They brought their children, and then other people joined. And that same spirit of change, that same spirit of making things better is in our hands. It's at our control. The only thing stopping us is from taking that step and consciously saying, okay, I'm not just going to be a taker. I'm going to be a giver. And I'm going to be giver across the board. I'm going to be a giver to my boss. I'm going to tell him what I really think, what we should be doing. I'm going to be a giver to my coworkers, see them struggling. I mean, some of them are going to say, take off. I'm not interested in your help or anything else. And that's fine. But the majority, I believe, won't do that. The majority, I believe, will look forward to it. Because the fact of the matter is, nobody wants to do something that's not working if they didn't know it's not working. Think about when you've said to someone, whether you have children or friends or something, hey, you know, like, I don't know what you're thinking about that, but if you're trying to get me to be nice to you, you're going about it the wrong way, right? And how often people have said, oh my God, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that that's how you felt. So I think in this competitive environment that we're going forward in this cost reduction, this AI and digital world, there's going to be a lot of displacement. And so the concept that change is good for everybody, it's not. And if you want change to be good for you, then you got to figure out the new rules of engagement. You got to figure out what you need to be doing and what you don't need to be doing. And if you can't do those things, then you got to find somewhere else where you can do those things. And I always like to say, you know, the new world is about raising the bar, constantly raising the bar. And most organizations are going to give everybody an opportunity to stay above that bar. But in order to do that, the one thing they can't give you is motivation. They can't help you motivate yourself to stay above that bar. They can't help you motivate yourself to be more educated, to be more trusting, to be more willing, to be more team playing. And maybe you're not. Maybe you're not one of those people. And that's okay. I'm not judging one or the other. And if you're not, then you should go to an organization that's pure carnivore and fight for the piece of meat on the table like everybody else. And if you're good, you'll survive. And if you're not, you won't. But in general, organizations want people to get above the bar. They want to get them there because they realize it's about the mobilization of the rank and file. It's not about the mobilization of the people at the top. In conclusion, I don't often say that. It kind of sounds good. In conclusion, think about your part in whatever cultural revolution is going on at your firm. Think about where your organization is going. And are you a winner or are you a loser? And can you do anything to stop yourself from being a loser versus digging your feet into the sand and saying, I'm not going to change. I don't care. This has worked for me for here forever. If you do that, you'll be left behind. So the opportunity is there for all of us. But it's always my choice. Be you, the world will adjust. It's always your choice. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you very much.